Some people have what might be called a hope-so salvation. They don't really know whether they are saved or not. Well, our study today makes it clear that there need be no doubt of any kind. I hope you have a no-so salvation. Jesus Christ declared, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." As the body without food is plagued by hunger pangs, so the soul without Christ is famished by sin. To partake of the bread of life, one must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is it to come to Christ? It is to recognize one's total inability within himself to meet the demands of his soul, to realize his sinfulness, and with utter abandonment of any kind of human effort whatsoever, rely upon Christ completely for eternal salvation. To the one who believes, the Lord Jesus declares he shall never hunger and never thirst. Now, this does not mean that he will never sin again, but never again will his soul be destitute of the spiritual food essential to keep it alive. Christ, the bread of life, is always available for him. The believer is privileged to turn to Christ immediately for forgiveness. God promises in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Thus, even though the weight of sin may be heavy upon the believer, confession in the name of Christ results in immediate forgiveness. After one has truly believed on Christ, the bread of life, sin need no longer be his master. Paul declared in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." The believer is delivered from the penalty and power of sin, with the prospect of someday being delivered from its presence. The unsaved man cannot say this, for try as he may, he is dominated by sin. Now in verse 36, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye also have seen me, and believe not," doubtless referring to the 30th verse where some in his audience ask, "What sign or miracle showest thou then that we may see and believe thee?" Well, Christ is the greatest sign of all. His very presence in their midst was a miracle. He who was the prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament came from the glory of heaven to be born into this world with a miraculous birth. There he stood before them declaring, "Ye also have seen me and believe not." In other words, they said, if they were permitted to see a miracle, then they would believe. Jesus was a miracle, but they did not believe. Here again, we are reminded of the hardness of impenitent, unconverted hearts. But in spite of their hardness of heart, God's plan cannot be hindered or limited. The weaknesses of men never frustrate the grace of God. Now, Christ assured his hearers in the 6th chapter of John, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In spite of the rebellion and unbelief among humans, there are some who will hear the truth and come to God. Now, the word "all," as used here, does not mean particular individuals. Rather, it connotes the idea of everyone, all as a body. In other words, the entire body of Christ will be saved according to God's appointment. Not one member will be missing. All will be there at the time when the saints are caught up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air upon Christ's return. But we must not overlook an important fact. If one is to be among those in the all, he must first be among those who've already come to him for salvation. The Bible says and makes it so clear here, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." No matter how unworthy we are, Christ will receive us. What a marvelous invitation this is. Now in verse 38 we read, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Christ came for one purpose only, to do the will of the Father. In verse 39, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. In verse 40, And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is God's will that nothing the Father has given to Christ should be lost. And it is the Father's will that all who believe on Christ should be saved. Salvation is not believing and then struggling. It is believing and then relying on God to sustain us moment by moment. We are assured of the Lord's watchful care and guidance all through our Christian pilgrimage on this earth. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Well, the same can be said about every believer. God will not take his eyes from us for even a moment. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, I've heard people say on occasion, I would like to become a Christian, but I fear I could not hold out. Well, in himself, no one can hold out. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who does the holding. Though one may be surrounded with temptations, the promise of the Scripture is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. One who truly belongs to God through Jesus Christ will never be lost. I read in 1 Peter 1, 5, that we are kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. There is no way we could keep ourselves saved. We are weak, but Jesus Christ is almighty. He is strong. He does the keeping. Two times in these verses, we are told that those who are in Christ will be raised up at the last day. Not only will God preserve them while they live, he will continue to care for them after death. Now, this has to do with the believer's resurrection, which will take place when Christ returns. God says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verses 51 and 52, We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. My, what a thrilling future the believer has. Now let me ask, will this future be your future? If you're not sure of your salvation, I guarantee you, you can make sure at this moment. Take God at his word. And he says, as we've seen already from our portion today, Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You may be in the deepest life of sin, but God will save you if you'll only turn to Jesus Christ. Take God at his word right now. Bow your head and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for my sins, and you have promised if I come to you, you'll take me in. And God will meet you right where you are. He won't turn anyone away. It doesn't make any difference what your color is, where you live, what your background has been, whether you have any money or no money, whatever your circumstances, Jesus Christ looks at the heart. And of course, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. You cannot cure your own sinful heart, but Jesus can. Let him do it right now as we gather and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these precious people listening to this broadcast. Some know you, many do not know you. We're concerned about those who need the Lord, that they may turn to you today through Jesus Christ. Then we think of your special people out there who've been born again. Be with them. Some are hurting. Undertake for their needs. Hear their prayers. Glorify yourself. And I shall praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.